Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean and a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire, now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome in to Up in the Raptors, a podcast brought to you this basketball season by our friends over at Johnny T-Shirt. Co-hosting this, I'm Taylor Viplis, and this year I'm joined by national champion, the most outstanding player of the Final Four, and a Carolina basketball legend, the ACC Network's Joel Berry. Joel, Carolina makes light work of Notre Dame on senior night, winning 84-51 in the Dean Dome. Biggest thoughts, biggest takeaways from that game?
Yeah, man, it was I know for the crowd, it was an emotional night. You know, you got Armando being his last time playing in the Dean Dome. And then you got RJ, which, you know, he has another year, but there's no telling what he will do. But I just thought it was the perfect way for them to go out. They came out, they showed out, man. They really put it to Notre Dame and didn't give them any hope at any point of the game. And I just thought it was a collective effort from the whole team. I was most impressed with the production off the bench, and I really do think that everyone got a chance to see how valuable Seth Trimble is coming off the bench and what he brings. And it just really showed how much Carolina missed him during that time he was out. But overall, man, it was a very impressive game against a team that was that has been playing really well down the stretch with Notre Dame. But Carolina put their foot on their neck and didn't give them any confidence to get things going.
You mentioned how it was an emotional night for the fans seeing some of these players for the last time in the Dean Dome. What are the emotions like as a player when it is your senior night and you are the one being honored and you have maybe all these memories kind of flowing back in you as you're being celebrated?
Well, first thing first, you got to get a win. We didn't win. We lost on.
I wasn't going to bring that up.
Man, we wanted to win so bad. It was such a great game, too. And then Jaquan Newton just ended it for everyone. That's my brother, though. I grew up, you know, AAU tournaments with him, seeing him play. So obviously I was excited for him, but he ruined our night. But it's very emotional just to think about the amount of times, not even when talking about playing the games, the amount of times that you at the time, now they have the eye scan, but at the time you do the hand scan to get into the Dean Dome and you're going in there getting extra shots. You know, you're putting in the work, you're taking care of your body, just the whole facility, man. That's the last time you get a chance to really walk in there and prepare for a game day. So it's a lot of emotions, man. But, you know, obviously they got the win, which is first and foremost. But just, you know, like I said at the beginning, very emotional night for the guys, especially for a guy like Armando, who has given it his all. You know, I just know it's a pretty sad moment to be able to walk off that floor. But the one thing, though, he put his all out onto the court and did everything that he could for this program. So when you look at it, he'll be cemented in a lot of hearts for a lot of Carolina fans.
Yeah, in the postgame show immediately after the Notre Dame game, I was kind of talking about how wild his journey has been in Chapel Hill, and probably the wildest journey that anybody's ever had, where his freshman year gets shut down due to COVID. You know, he has a team that makes a run to the national championship. The next year, preseason number one, they miss the tournament completely. He comes back. He's the ACC preseason player of the year, and now he's back on a top five caliber North Carolina team heading into the postseason. How would you begin to describe what Armando Bacot's legacy is at Carolina?
Man, that is crazy what he has been through. Seriously, it's pretty crazy, man, and it's very impressive for a young man to just stick around and to really give his all to a program that has been through the ringer. And not only you talk about the COVID, you talk about the halftime, you know, a half away from having a banner up in the Dean Dome. You're also talking about a coaching change as well. So, like, man, he's been through it all. And I just think that's why he will be in a lot of fans' hearts forever, because of what he has stuck with and what he has done for this program. He could have easily said, you know what, this is crazy, I'm out of here, I want to go try and at least see what I can do in my last couple of years somewhere else. And man, hats off to him for just sticking it out in the environment that we are in today, where it's so easy to just up and leave. So man, you said it all. I mean, there's no words to put to it, but he's navigated it really well. It has done an amazing job for this program. And like I said, will always be remembered for what he has done. I don't know if that'll get him up in the rafters, but I mean, he cemented himself as one of the top Carolina players in this program.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I believe it was on Hubert Davis Live on the Monday night show, HD hinted at that he's thought about changing the criteria necessary for a jersey going in the rafters. And one of the beliefs there is that UNC could add program record holders for major statistical categories like points, rebounds, assists. And if they do expand the criteria, that would put players like Ed Cota and Armando Bacot up there as well. The last player to go up in the rafters, yourself. So what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on UNC potentially expanding the qualifications? Do you like it? Do you not like it?
I know we're in a different era. And you know, obviously things are changing, which I totally understand. I know some things have to change. Now, my only thought is, and I thought about this quite a bit, is what about the guys who have really done great things at the program that haven't been up there? Like, we only see the guys who, you know, obviously met the criteria to be up in the rafters. But I just think about the amount of guys that aren't up there that have come through the program that really has had an impact on the program, and those guys aren't up there. So obviously, like I said, it's a different day and age. And yes, eventually I know things will have to change and the criteria will have to change because of we got, you know, you have to stay up to par with the environment that you are in college basketball. But I just think about the guys who haven't been up there or who didn't get a chance to get up there, but were great and amazing players, and that set records for Carolina. So that's my only thing, is just thinking about those players who trailblazed for us to have a path and to be able to do what we did at Carolina.
Yeah, and I was just thinking of this too when we were talking about all the accomplishments and everything Armando Bacot's been through. We didn't even mention two of the biggest wins in school history against the Duke Blue Devils, where they end Coach K's career in Cameron with a loss, and then they end his career in totality with a loss in the Final Four. So I'm thinking maybe it's we add a rafter of just everybody who was on that team, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can do that. I know a lot of fans, that's all they talk about, and they still talk about that. So, I mean, yeah, man, that's like that was flexing. Like, that's flexing on Duke right there, just being able to do what they did. And people will always be able to bring that out of the bag when all of these Dukies start talking. They'll be able to bring that out. So, yeah, I don't know where you will put that, because there's banners all over the place. But, I mean, at least, like I said, I think R.J. Davis will be up in the rafters, just because he is going to meet the criteria with ACC Player of the Year. But at least you get one guy up there that we can remember from that spectacular or those two spectacular wins.
And I also had another stat from the post game show after the Notre Dame game that I wanted to share with you, just to get your thoughts on it. When Armando Bacot made his collegiate debut for Carolina, Patrick Mahomes had zero Super Bowls. He's won three since.
Oh my gosh. that is special, man. That is special.
I don't know. Is it more impressive how long Armando Bacot has been here, or that Patrick Mahomes has gotten three titles in 5 years?
Titles are hard, so I'm gonna definitely go with titles. Because that's very impressive, especially with Patrick Mahomes being so young. But it is very impressive that Armando has been there for what seems like a decade. But it's just because he's been in like my man has been in like some very crucial like moments of college basketball. You talk about COVID in itself, like that was crazy. Then you got the national championship. Then you got the Coach K. Like, I can go on and on what this dude has done and what has happened during his time. So I think that's more impressive, the storylines that he has been a part of.
and with the win over Notre Dame, it clinched at least a share of the ACC regular season title for Carolina for the first time since 2019. What does that accomplishment mean for this team and for the program?
Like, it's literally a 180 from last year. Like, man, I think that's what's so impressive. And it just speaks volumes to the environment that we are in, which can be a bad thing, but can also be a good thing from a bad, you know, bad perspective. It puts pressure on coaches to now, like, okay, we had a bad year. We can go into the portal. So the fans are like, okay, what is our coach going to do in the portal to make us to be a better team, kind of going from like how it was last year to this year. So it puts a lot of pressure on the coach, but it also just goes to show like what you can do in this environment to really change the dynamic of your team. And I give hats off to the coaching staff, and I give hats off to the players like Armando and RJ, who welcome in and let go of some of their players that they've had very good relationships with, and then brought in some guys who they didn't know. And this is very impressive in this environment, and doing it in the ACC, going from missing the tournament last year to potentially having the outright regular season, being the outright regular season champs and making a deep run in the tournament, man. So, very impressive what Coach Davis, and these players have been able to do, man. And, most importantly, I am very impressed how they're doing it in such a great fashion, and showing that they enjoy playing with one another.
Yeah, and you mentioned Coach Davis, and North Carolina only received one vote, one first place vote to win the ACC in the preseason. RJ Davis essentially has the ACC Player of the Year locked up already. That trophy is going to be coming back with him to Chapel Hill. But do you think Carolina is going to sweep when it comes to ACC Player of the Year and ACC Coach of the Year for what Coach Davis has kind of done, especially with being able to construct this roster after last year's disappointment?
Yeah, I'll speak on Coach Davis first. I do think it's a very impressive job in what he has done, being able to you can correct me if I won't. They lost like what was it, 8 players?
That sounds right.
Something in that area. I think that just goes to show you lose that many players. And then what's also crazy is that Caleb Love could possibly win Pac-12 Player of the Year, which I think is, you had two of those guys in your backcourt, which is crazy, but that's another story for another day. But I just think what Coach Davis has done has been very impressive, being able to leave, or, you know, 8 guys leave, and then you bring in really 2 dynamic transfers to be able to help propel your team from what happened last year. And then the improvement of Jalen Washington and Seth Trimble and those guys being able to understand their role. I just think this is a very impressive job from what Coach Davis has done. And then obviously RJ, what he's doing speaks for itself. But I do, in my personal opinion, think that both of those guys will sweep coach of the Year and Player of the Year.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. And I think a lot of times it feels like the ACC doesn't reward the best team and more finds a team that has kind of improved or outseated their expectations. But again, like nobody really had this North Carolina team as a slam dunk exactly going into the last week of the season as conference champions. So the last question I have from the Notre Dame game, and then we're going to switch our focus to a huge matchup Saturday against Duke. Armando Bacot, 2 for 2 from 3. Is he a sharpshooter, or are we missing part of his game? Is this something that he has in his bag? Because some of those shots looked kind of effortless.
Hey, they were all net too. They was all nylon. So I'm like Coach Williams. I got my hand up. I'm like, where was this? No, man. I mean, and for him to do it, and that's his last shot of his in the Dean Dome, man, that's fire right there. But yeah, man, that's crazy. He knocked down those 2 shots. Now, I don't know what that means moving forward. I don't know what those film sessions are. I don't know if Coach Davis brought him in and said, hey, look, man, those two threes, yes, they look like me in my heyday. But let's just get back to what you do, man. But hey, if he's knocking them down, you know, it's good to know like a late shot clock pick and pop, and you might need those. I mean, those 3 points might come into play. So if he can knock it down, shoot it. I don't care. I just want to see it go in.
Yeah, it's either Coach Davis is telling Armando that, like, hey, we're gonna need you in the paint, or North Carolina is preparing for this Duke game, and like maybe we could steal some looks for him from 3. Yeah. The one thing I feel like I know for sure is that Armando Bacot every day this week in practice is telling the coaches, like, hey, I know you saw that.
Right. He probably first thing at practice, not the next day, but the following day, I'm sure he probably was out there shooting threes in pre-practice, and Coach Davis was probably like, no, we're not. I know they look good, but we're not doing that.
He's taking the remote during film session and being like, let's run that one back. So yeah, you guys can check.
Armando, like, yeah. No, we're not. I liked it, but no, I don't want to see it. I like Armando inside.
Quick break so I can remind everybody about our friends over at Johnny T-Shirt. If you're going to be in Chapel Hill, you can visit Johnny T-Shirt on Franklin Street. And if not, no worries. You could go to johnnytshirt.com. They have all the Carolina apparel that the Carolina basketball fan could possibly want. They have the hats, the jerseys, the T-shirts, you name it, they've got it. And they also have the 2024 men's basketball regular season champ shirts in stock now for pre-sales. great t-shirt. It's a great looking t-shirt that would make any, that would be a staple in any Carolina basketball fan's closet. They have great prices, great deals always, great people, great customer service. And don't forget, Inside Carolina premium subscribers save 10% off their orders. Joel, this Duke game, I mentioned how big this Duke game is. And since February 1st, Bart Torvik has Duke, according to their metrics, as the fourth best team in the country compared to UNC at 18. But that stretch also includes UNC beating Duke at home. Where do you see these two teams before this game?
Yeah, I mean, both of these teams are coming in on winning streaks, and they're playing their best basketball. I know Duke dropped that game against Wake Forest, but it was a well-fought game. Just came down to the end. Carolina had the hiccup against Syracuse. And since then, both of these teams have been playing really well. You know, Duke is, it's funny about Duke, man. They, you know, they play well throughout the conference. But they just, it seems as soon as you go from February to March, man, they turn it up. Tyrese Proctor is one of those guys who have, you know, was the one who kind of, you know, led things last year on their 10 game winning streak as they finish out the year. So, yeah, man, these two teams are playing really well. Carolina's playing really well. And this is going to be a high power or high octane game. And I look forward to what happens. You know, this second game is kind of tough because now you look back on that first game and you see what you did wrong. And now you can fix some of those mistakes. So the chess match is going to be real. And I look forward to seeing that.
One of the things that happened in that first matchup was that was one of the first times all season that Carolina got the look of teams like top locking RJ Davis and playing that deny style of basketball. Going into this matchup, how do you think Duke handles the RJ Davis matchup and what kind of changes we could see stylistically?
Yeah, I think that's the one thing. You don't want RJ to have clean looks. And so, you know, I think they'll go with Tyrese Proctor. I mean, Jeremy Roach can guard him as well. But I think Tyrese Proctor is one of those guards that can get up on you and make it difficult for you. But just being able to not allow him to come off cleanly and have good shot opportunities. And, I mean, we see RJ is good off of the bounce too. So, you know, them being up higher on the screen rather than being on that drop that's all the way in the paint. You know, I think that's one of the things that Duke doesn't want to get into is having him come off a ball screen and then having to play so far up, they skip the pass or they drop it off to Armando and allow him to play against Filipowski, which we saw in the first game, Armando dominated that matchup. So I think they will try to make it a little unorthodox for RJ, not allowing him to come off and see clean looks. But, you know, with Carolina, they have other guys that can step up and make plays.
Yeah, and I think one of the advantages that Carolina has in this matchup, especially in that RJ Davis matchup, is that since that Duke game, other teams have kind of taken that same strategy. So Carolina has gotten a bit more familiar in how to free up RJ Davis and when RJ Davis is at the top of a team scouting report, how do you handle that and having the guys necessary to kind of step up, but also being able to get the ball in RJ Davis's hand and kind of let him do what he has to do. What would you say in this matchup, the difference is playing in the Dean Dome and then playing at Cameron Indoor? And is there one where you'd rather start at Cameron Indoor or you'd rather start at the Dean Dome, or how does that kind of go into it?
Yeah. I mean, obviously you want to, you know, be in front of your home crowd. And I didn't have a preference. I'm sure they don't have a preference because you're going to have to go to the other one. So, you know, you're eventually going to get over to the other side, but you know, I think it's going to be tough trying to finish out the regular season and win it over at Cameron just because, you know, it is Duke in front of their home crowd. They're good in front of their home crowd and being able to feed off of that energy. So I think, you know, I think Carolina would have loved to finish out the regular season being at home. That would have been bittersweet. But it's very special to be able to go over there and win it and be able to win a regular season, which I have some experience with in the 2016 year when we won over there and we were able to finish out the regular season and get a banner. So that's always sweet. But, you know, the one thing that Carolina will have to do and what they did on the Brady Manning team when they went over there for Coach K's last game is that they were able to really neutralize the crowd by making big time shots, by making big time plays. And when you go on a road, especially in this game, that's what you have to do. You have to try to neutralize the crowd as much as possible because that building gets rocking and it's hard to hear and it's hard to think. So you definitely want to play your best, especially down the stretch, and be able to neutralize the Cameron crazies.
You mentioned neutralizing the crowd. How much of playing at Cameron Indoor is just being able to survive that first 5 minutes when they're feeding off all that emotion?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit different than being in the Dean Dome just because the gym is a little bit bigger over at the Smith Center. But, you know, and now you're playing in like a high school environment and it gets toasty in there. So you have to just try to, you know, you have to try to control those emotions in that first 5 minutes and just try to settle yourself as much as possible. But that's when you rely on the habits and those principles that you've built on and have worked on throughout the year. And not allowing yourself to get in a hole. Like Carolina doesn't want to have one of those games where it's like Clemson and they get themselves so far in the hole to where they can't come out. And then they're on the road as well. So I thought they did a great job of, you know, being sound in the first couple of minutes in the first matchup. So they'll need to do that here in this, especially being on the road.
Before we wrap up, a big shout out to our friends at Congruity. Congruity is a North Carolina-based national coverage local presence company with personal support straight from the Tar Heel State. Congruity is empowering small and mid-sized business owners with HR and payroll outsourcing, enabling you to grow your business while they take care of your greatest assets, your people. And they are doing it with top-of-the-line technology and services for every stage of your business's growth with a state-of-the-art online platform. Congruity, they are obsessed with customer service where they become part of your team. They do the heavy lifting, providing essential admin support with a single point of contact and support available on demand with services that are tailor-made for you, transforming your organization. Congruity has helped hundreds of businesses improve and enhance their day-to-day lives, level up your HR capabilities, save money, unlock game-changing growth. Visit congruityhr.com/Tar Heels to learn all about Congruity. Fill out a quick form to be connected to their consultants, and they'll give Inside Carolina listeners or viewers a payroll and HR assessment for free. That's congruityhr.com/Tar Heels, congruityhr.com/Tar Heels. All right, back to the episode.
What do you think Carolina has to do on Saturday to get the win? Like when we're talking about this game next week, if we're talking about a Carolina win, how do you think they did it?
Yeah, pushing the pace is one, getting the ball up and not allowing Duke to get back and set up defensively. I really do think that Duke is a very good defensive team. They can get up in you and force you to play at the half court and get you out of your spots, which I think they will do, because the further out you play, the less that Carolina will be in scoring opportunities. And you don't want to have that as often as possible. So, you know, with Duke, they do a really good job of doing that. So just pushing the pace, getting ahead of the defense, being able to get some easy baskets. But also scoring the ball inside. I know Filipowski is going to take it upon his shoulder to make up for that matchup last time. So you know that he'll come out and be aggressive, but that can also play to Armando's advantage, because now you know he's coming out and being aggressive. Use that against him. Get him in foul trouble. Get him out of there. And now you get a chance to play against Ryan Young, which we know Ryan Young is not good in ball screens. Now it opens up things for RJ. So that's what I said. I'm excited to see the chess matchup. But if we're looking at next week, and I'm saying that, you know, looking back at this game, I think Carolina can win that battle inside, just really getting inside Duke's defense and taking advantage of them pressuring. That's how you fight. You fight pressure with pressure, getting to the basket and then being able to move the ball. And obviously we know Elliott Cadeau can do it with the best of them.
Top 10 matchup this Saturday in Durham, number 7, North Carolina, number 9, Duke. As if the rivalry needed something else, you have a top 10 matchup, and this game will be the first time since 2012 when the two have met at the end of the year with at least a share of the ACC regular season title on the line. Joel, looking forward to watching this, but appreciate the time as always, and appreciate everybody watching and listening.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.